Rachel Krikon.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of Get Your Creek On, a podcast about Jonathan Creek. This is the very final edition of the show after 26 in-depth analyses of all episodes of Jonathan Creek from the very first one, The Wrestler's Tomb in 1997, through to The Judas Tree in 2010. There were five further episodes, but for a couple of reasons, which we'll get into shortly, they will not be covered on the podcast. I'm also going to have a stab at ranking my top five episodes of Jonathan Creek, provide details about the music that's been used in this podcast, and then attempt to wrap things up in a relatively concise and non-emotional manner.
Get your creek on.
Why aren't you covering the final five episodes, you didn't ask? Well, the harsh reality of things is that at some point in the 3 years between The Judas Tree in 2010 and the next episode, The Clue of the Savant's Thumb in 2013, David Rennick made three big changes in Jonathan Creek's life, and each and every one of these was very much to the detriment of the show, unfortunately. Firstly, Jonathan left Magic Consultancy altogether, binning off life with Adam Klaus and becoming an advertising director. Now, even if we assume that he started on that transition the day after the Judas Tree debacle, his ascension to what appears to be a high-powered executive role in an absolute maximum of 3 years is completely unrealistic, notwithstanding the fact his now wife's father runs the business. The thing is, Jonathan made a comment in one of the Series 3 episodes about how disgusted he was at Brendan Baxter's obsession with viewing numbers and demographics, and this tallied with his position as a kind of scruffy artistic guy who enjoys the creative freedom of the magic design work that he did. It feels like far too big a stretch to believe that he's happily jumped ship into a cushy office job in the corporate world, and to say it erodes some of the charm of the character would be an absolutely enormous understatement. Secondly, Jonathan Creek is that guy who lives in a windmill handed down by his family, and yet we now find he's clinically got rid of it at the behest of his tedious wife, of whom more shortly, left many years of memories behind and moved into a fancy but very sterile seeming modern house with her. Again, the Jonathan we've known to this point would surely have taken one look at a place like that and felt instantly cold at its monotonous lack of character, and it just seems so at odds with everything we know about the guy. Finally, and possibly most importantly of all, the idea that he would marry someone like Polly is just ludicrous, and it completely flies in the face of everything that made the show great previously. The first three series and two specials saw him involved with Maddie and Carla, and the tension between him and them, both sexual and otherwise, was an absolutely integral part of what made the show different, interesting, and enjoyable. With Joey Ross, the dynamic was a bit different, but he was challenged in a different way with her. It was fun to watch their personal and professional friendship develop. Polly, however, is a dreadful match for Jonathan. There's absolutely zero chemistry between the pair of them. She belittles his former life and appears to treat him like a rescue dog needing complete retraining. She chides him for being a recluse and yet later on gets jealous when he socialises with other people, women in particular. The three episodes in Series 5, particularly The Letters of Septimus Noon and The Sinner and the Sandman, have the pair of them pissing about with crappy little so-called mysteries in the village they've moved into, and it's just very hard to get interested, let alone excited, about the low-stakes stuff that Jonathan has to solve, such as dreams about rabbits that Polly had, or how the parish newsletter is getting exclusive stories. In the final episode, Demon's Roost, we see the pair of them lobbing all remnants of Jonathan's magic career into a skip, and then he makes reference to a brother who hasn't even been mentioned once in the entire history of the show to that point, and it all just feels a bit hollow. There was never an explicit mention of that ultimately being the final episode, but it all just felt very sad that the show really petered out so feebly at the end. Let's have a quick canter through the other five episodes though. The Clue of the Savant's Thumb was an Easter special airing on April 1st, 2013. The central mystery was how a body disappeared from a locked room, and the solution was that only the head was real, the rest of it was a dummy, and the head was hidden inside a globe. The Letters of Septimus Noon aired on February 28th, 2014, and in complete variation to every single other episode of Jonathan Creek, we, the viewers, actually see the solution to the puzzle, Columbo style, before Jonathan does, and we then watch him trying to figure out what we already know. The solution was that the actress was stabbed before going into her dressing room, and the fake skin covering the wound was hidden inside a picture frame. The Sinner and the Sandman aired on March 7th, 2014, and in this, Jonathan figures out that the winning lottery numbers, supposedly predicted many decades previously, were actually based on a local phone number that someone had painted on a wall. The secondary plot with the parish newsletter that I mentioned earlier also took place in this episode, and for me, was probably the absolute low point of the entire Jonathan Creek oeuvre. The Curse of the Bronze Lamp was the third and final Series 5 episode, and that aired on March 14th, 2014. The kidnapped MP's wife was some kind of lateral thinking genius, and provided clues from the bunker she was held prisoner in by tying them to party balloons she just so happened to have on her person. And the very final episode was Demon's Roost, airing on December the 28th, 2016, in which a range of completely implausible things happened, including a guy murdering his wife by having a tiny ball of poison roll off a bookshelf conveniently into her bedside water glass, an elaborate underground murder chamber burns people to death, and Jonathan ends up killing the recently released animal rights activist who went to jail way back in the House of Monkeys, episode 5, thanks to Jonathan's sleuthing. Just a warning, the descriptions of those five episodes contain spoilers, so if you haven't watched them yet, you should have avoided listening to this entire section. Purely for reasons of fun and personal nostalgia, I've had a think and put together a list of my top 5 episodes of Jonathan Creek. And it turns out they're all earlier ones, with Maddie McGowan in them, which reflects the fact that I just loved her as a character. For one final time, my good friend, the robot, is going to assist me in this endeavour.
1. Black Canary.
The 1998 Christmas Eve special is many people's favourite, and little wonder, it's a belter of a central mystery. It has a cast of intriguing characters, and quite probably the best ever guest appearance by Rick Mail as Gideon Pryke. There was also a reference or two to Nazism, which I'm certainly not seeing as a worthy cause, but it was quite funny.
2. The Problem at Gallows Gate.
I'm going to treat this two-parter as one big episode. Trying to figure out how a man seen falling to his death can then be wandering around strangling people a couple of weeks later is up there as one of the best puzzles of the entire run, and the characters of Kitty, Inspector Barrison, and pervy old Huey Harper was a fantastic cast, and all the additional detail made possible by the double-length running time made for a thoroughly memorable caper.
3. The Reconstituted Corpse.
The iconic corpse suddenly appearing inside a cupboard conundrum is one of the more ingenious storylines of the whole show, and the comedy provided by the elephant death catastrophe and the Swedish swimming instructor propels this episode up into third place.
4. Dance Macabre.
How the skeleton escaped from the locked garage is probably my favourite puzzle of all. I thought it was an expertly executed brain teaser, and the general gothic vibes were all very different to the previous episodes. Jonathan in the bath with a naked lady was fun as well.
5. The House of Monkeys.
Lots of comedy again going on in this one, and who wouldn't love a storyline involving a gorilla casually going for a shit in a human toilet? Jonathan and Maddie ending up in bed together but not quite getting it on was a brave move by David Rennick, and again, the central mystery was a very clever one.
6. The Sinner and the Sandman.
Yeah, good one, pal. No bloody chance.
But I liked the rabbit dream thing.
Ugh, shut up, idiot.
Polly was the best sidekick.
Oh, fuck off. A few of you do enjoy some of the background music on the show, perhaps actually preferring it to me talking, so here's a rundown of the different tunes and who they're by. The intro music is called No Clues Left by Arthur Benson.
Episode synopsis.
Episode synopsis is My Simple Thing by Peter Sandberg.
Episode analysis.
Episode analysis is called Swirling and it's by Major Tweaks.
The Celebration of Location Information Station.
Celebration of Location Information Station is a song called Latin Dog by Tage.
Creek Connections.
Creek Connections is The Mole by Christopher Moe Ditlevsen. On This Day is Silent Love by Richie Everett.
Pottery Corner.
Richie Everett also did the introductory bit to the poetry section. It's called So Much to Say. The main part of the poetry section is Celtic Dream by Trabant 33.
Eat, sleep, creak, repeat.
eatsleepcreekrepeat.com/therobotsection is Nox by Duck Maw. The ASMR section is Pyramid Symbol IV by Joseph Begg. And the wrap-up music is called So So by Roof. Actually, I should have just kept that last one going. Thank you very much indeed for listening to this, and indeed all episodes of Get Your Creak On. I started the podcast for my own amusement, really, and because I was interested in learning a new skill, and because I like podcasts, and because I love Jonathan Creak, and I've genuinely enjoyed putting the show together over the past 2.5 years or so. Sometimes at this point in the proceedings, I've mentioned that you can help fund the show by going to the Buy Me a Coffee website and chucking in a few quid. But given this is the final episode, I'd urge you to instead donate it to one or both of two charities that are very close to my heart. One is called My Name's Doddy Foundation, who are endeavouring to raise awareness of and funds for research into an absolutely dreadful disease called motor neuron disease. And the second is the Wild at Heart Foundation, who run fantastic projects to help reduce the number of stray dogs all around the world. Links to both of these are in the show notes for this episode. Hopefully you've at least semi-enjoyed some of the pod along the way, and on the off chance that David Rennick decides to make more Jonathan Creak, I will definitely fire up the old RSS feed again. But in the meantime, the email address and website will remain live, so feel free to get in touch anytime. I'll always be delighted to correspond with anyone regarding all matters Creak. Well, that's it then. We are done. Thanks once more for all of your company, and all the very best to you. Godspeed, and I will see you later. I'm Toby. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Get Your Creak On.
Get Your Creak On.